Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, here at North Point, we have said that 2023 is our year of
legacy.
That's right, it is our year of legacy. And our motto for the year is live the legacy that you want to leave. Live the legacy that you want to leave. And here's what we understand is that everybody is going to leave a legacy. And the way that we've defined that this year is that legacy is simply this. It's the story that people tell about the person that you were and the difference that you made in their lives and in the world. And so that's why we say everybody leaves a legacy. Legacy is not just for the presidents and the prime ministers and the kings and queens. No, a legacy is for everybody. Why? Because everybody leaves a story. And if you leave a story, you are leaving a legacy. And so I want to share with you this first thought. This can be it's a powerful truth, but it can be an uncomfortable truth. And it is this. Is that you are responsible for the legacy you leave because you are in charge of the decisions you make. You are responsible for the legacy you leave because you are in charge of the decisions you make. John Maxwell, the great author and leadership guru, he says it this way, life is a matter of choices. And every choice you make makes you. Life is a matter of choices. And every choice you make makes you. While these ideas can be challenging, listen, these ideas are also very, very encouraging. Because it tells me that I can change my life and therefore change my legacy simply by changing my choices. And that if I can change my choices, I can change my life, and when I change the way that I live, I can change the legacy that I leave. Now, I believe today that we are in a room full of people who want to leave a great legacy. I believe we're in a room full of people who want to leave a story behind for their students, for their kids, for their peers, for their coworkers. They want to leave a great legacy, but leaving a great legacy takes more than just a desire. Listen, it all starts with a desire, and a desire is good. We could even say this, that a desire is necessary. We could even go as far to say that the greater your desire, that potentially the greater your potential that desire is going to come to pass. All of those things are true, but your intense desire to leave a legacy must be followed by an intentional design to create a legacy. You can never get stuck only with a desire. That intense desire to leave a great legacy has to be followed by an intentional design to create the legacy that you ultimately want to leave. And part of that design is to constantly be aware of the importance of your daily decisions. Part of that design for legacy is just to become aware. Become aware that my daily decisions impact my life. We looked at this several months ago, and it's real simple, but sometimes life can be overwhelming, but there's one thing that we don't need to make life, and that is overcomplicated. We don't need to overcomplicate life. Life is actually very, very simple, and life boils down to this. It's decision, direction, and destination. That's what life is. Every day you make a decision. Every decision puts your life in some direction, and every direction has a destination. So the place that you end up in life is going to be connected to the decisions that you have made in this life. This is why Solomon, the wisest man ever, said in Proverbs chapter 2, he says, "Wise choices will watch over you." Not only will God watch over you, but wise choices will watch over you. When you make wise choices, they'll watch over you. And he says this, and understanding will keep you safe. When you understand how life works, when you understand the way God created you to live, when you understand his way and his principles, when you understand it's actually going to keep you out of trouble and it is going to keep you safe whenever you make wise choices and you have understanding. But here's what can happen to all of us, is that as we get into this thing called life, we can get lost in life. Now, I don't mean like the way that you would think it spiritually, I was lost and found in eternity in heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we can be doing our best to live for God and please God, but as we just go along in this thing called life, we can get lost. And we can lose our intentionality with the choices that we are making that are actually making us. We get lost and we lose sight of the intentionality in the choices that we are making because we forget that the choices that we are making are actually making us. They're actually making our life. And so we can get lost in this. And this is why I believe the Apostle Paul, a leader in the early church, he wrote to the church in Philippi. And this is what he writes to them in Philippians chapter 1. He says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters. Would you see this? He's writing, he says, hey, I pray that your love will overflow, but I also pray that you would keep on growing in your knowledge and your understanding because I want you to understand what really matters, insinuating that there are some things that don't really matter. He says, I want you to understand what really matters so that, everybody say, so that. I want you to understand so that you may live. What Paul is connecting here is that the way that we live is tied to what we understand. And if we don't understand what matters most and we don't understand why it matters most, then we are not going to sow that, we're not going to live that so that kind of life. Instead, Paul is saying, no, you got to understand what matters. You got to stay focused on what matters so that you might live your life in a certain way. You see, this is not about a desire. This is about a design. And I love this translation of that exact same verse. Paul writing, he says, that you will see the difference between what is important and what is not, and choose what is important. Paul says, this is what I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you will be able to see what is important and you will be able to see what is not, but he doesn't stop there. He says, and that you would be able to choose, that you would make the wise choice for what matters most. And this year, in this year of legacy, we've really been coming back to Hebrews chapter 11 quite often. And we refer to Hebrews chapter 11 as kind of the hall of fame of faith. Several of the heroes of the Old Testament are mentioned here in this chapter. And the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 11, he starts the chapter off this way in verse 2. Speaking of these heroes, he says, through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. The people in days of old, they earned a good reputation. You see, you don't earn what you wish for. You earn what you work for. I have never made an A in my life because I walked into the classroom and I told the teacher, I am wishing for an A today. And they said, whoo, that's good enough for me. Why? Because you don't earn what you wish for. You earn what you work for. Let me just give you a clarity moment here. And that is this, is that you can't earn salvation. You can't earn the grace of God. There's nothing that any one of us could do to put ourselves in right standing with God. You cannot earn salvation, listen to me, but you do earn reputation. You can't earn salvation, but you do earn reputation. Salvation is a free gift and it must be received. But reputation is a widespread opinion and it must be achieved. And sometimes as Christians, as Christ followers, we can get this confused. And when we get this confused, it really becomes a trap for us. Because so many times what we do is we spend our time, effort, and energy trying to prove ourselves to God that we really do belong. We're trying to prove to him that we really are good enough. We're trying to prove to him that we deserve heaven. We're trying to prove, we're doing our best to prove to God, hey, God, see me, notice me. Don't you see all the great things I'm doing here? God, see me, notice me. Don't you see? And we're trying to prove to God that we are working our way into heaven and into eternity. And we're working so hard to prove ourselves to God. But then when it comes to reputation, we're like, okay, God, you got to take care of that. And we have it backwards. We have it backwards because God's saying, no, I'm taking care of all of this. You can rest in salvation. Ain't nothing you can do to clean your life up good enough to ever get there anyway. You can pray all the prayers you want to pray and do all the good deeds you want to do. And ain't none of that going to get you into eternity with me. That is my free gift to you. And so you receive that and you rest in that. But God said, but when it comes to reputation, that's up to you. I'm not going to take care of your reputation. You got to take care of your reputation. You have to earn that reputation the same way that those in Hebrews 11. So what happens is that along the way, we just forget. We forget that our daily decisions are forming our reputation. And what is your reputation? Your reputation is the story that people tell about who you are. Your reputation, that one day, your reputation will one day be your legacy. And we forget that my daily decisions are determining that legacy. And so we get confused and we get lost in life because there's so many things going on and we forget the little things that it is the daily choices that I'm making that is creating this legacy. It's August. August means football season is about to kick off. So I thought there was nothing more appropriate in church today than we have a quote from the last year's national champion head coach, Kirby Smart. And this is what Kirby Smart said. He said, there is only one path to success: making the right decisions. Now, before you get all twisted up in success, well, I'm not trying to win a national championship. No. Success is this. Success is the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. And I hope you have an aim or a purpose in your life. I hope you have an aim for your relationships. I hope you have an aim for your business. I hope you have an aim for your career, for your future. I hope you have a purpose. And success is just the accomplishment of that. So he says there's only one way to accomplish the aim. There's only one pathway to success, and that is making the right decisions. But I have news for you today. Making the right decisions isn't just a desire thing. It's a design thing. I'm not going to make the right decisions because I've got a good desire. I will make the right decisions because I've got a good design. I will not make the right decisions just because I want to leave a legacy. I will make the right decisions when I have a plan to leave a legacy. And this is why we talk about design. And that's what we're going to be talking about this month as we kind of kick off this brand new series entitled Legacy 2.0 or Legacy Reset. We're going to kind of go back and talk through some of these concepts. And that is that how we create this design for our life, this design for our day, right, is really going to determine this legacy that we live. Because I cannot just live with the desire. I have to have a design for the legacy that I desire to leave. Let's look at the definition of those two words. Desire is this: to strongly wish for or want something. And I hope you have a desire. Man, I hope there's something you really want. I hope there's something you're chasing after. I hope there's something in your life that you really want to see happen in you and through you and for you. I hope there is desire, but I hope you don't stop there. Design is this: to plan and fashion artistically or skillfully. You see that design, and it is artistically and it is skillfully, because it means it's not just going to happen. I don't just have a desire so much that all of a sudden things start to fall in place. No, no, no. I've got to skillfully put those things into place. I have to skillfully and artistically begin to put all of the process and procedures and strategies and things in my life to create the life and the legacy that I ultimately want to leave behind. And in the Bible, Jesus is inviting us to live an uncommon life. Jesus is inviting us into this abundant life. He's inviting us into this supernatural existence. But you are not going to get there just because you have a desire. You've got to have a design. And this is where people can get really twisted up and tied up in church, is they have this desire for God. I have a desire for everything God wants. I want it, I want it, I want it. And then we get frustrated when we don't see it. We get frustrated when we don't have it. Why? Because it's not just a desire that takes you there. There's got to be a design. And I'm going to show you just real simply. Let's just look at some of the things that Jesus said that we should do, right? Jesus said this. He said, we should love everyone. Not just your neighbor, but your enemy. Jesus said that we should forgive everyone who offends us and hurts us. He says that we should serve everyone, even those who can never repay you or give you anything back. And Jesus said that we should pray, and not just pray for the people that we like, but we should pray for the people who have lied about us and are trying to pull the rug out from underneath us. Jesus says that we should turn the other cheek. He says that we should go the extra mile. He says that we should give our hard-earned money to the poor, and that we should do to other people what we wish they would do to us. How many of you know that don't happen just because you have desire? No, no, no. You got to have a design to love like that. You got to have a design to give like that. You got to have a design to forgive like that. You got to have a design to turn the other cheek and go the extra mile. You have to have a design to, because I'm never going to feel like praying for the person that just insulted me. I'm never going to want to love the person that did me wrong. I'm never going to have this desire. So if we are going to live this life that Jesus has called us to live, that's ultimately going to result in this abundant overflow existence for us on this earth, listen, I've got to have a design, because a desire is not going to work. And if I only live in desire, I will live confused and frustrated, because I'm never going to see what was possible, and I'll never see what God promised, because Jesus didn't promise you you would have it because you wanted it. He promised you you could have it if you get into alignment and you begin to understand the assignment and you begin to understand the process that you have to walk through of him doing this work in you, so that you can actually step into what he said you could have. So let me just give you a few essentials today in designing your legacy. There's some essential things that we need to be, if we say, okay, I want to design the legacy, there's a few things that we got to have. Number one is this: you got to have a compelling vision. If you're going to design a legacy, you have to have a compelling vision. And I say that because of this. It's hard to become someone or build something than you can't imagine. It's hard to become someone that you can't see yourself becoming. And it's hard for you to build something that you can't see yourself building. It starts in your imagination. I would say it to you this way today, that the clarity of your vision helps shape the quality of your decision. The clarity of your vision, the more clear you can get about your vision, this compelling vision, the clarity of your vision is going to improve the quality of your decision. Because I realize that the decisions that I'm making now are taking me into what I see. And if I don't have a compelling vision for my future, then I'm not going to do the hard work of making the best decision right here. So I have a low quality of decision when I don't have a clear vision. And a low quality decision is not taking me into a high capacity life. So I've got to have a compelling vision about what is actually possible so that I will do what? So that I will make the tough quality decision today. Remember, decision, direction, destination. It's my daily choices that I am making that are actually making me. And I want you to see this. Jesus has been crucified. He's been resurrected. He's shown up to his disciples and he's getting ready to ascend to heaven. And he gives this what we call the Great Commission. The Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, he tells his disciples, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, Jesus wasn't just giving instruction. Jesus was casting vision. He wasn't just giving instruction. He was casting vision because he says, I want you to go. And they said, whoo, go. Okay, we can't stay here. He said, where are we going? He said, I want you to go into all the nations. Now they're getting a mental picture of moving into all of the nations. And what are we going to do when we get into these nations? Oh, we're going to make disciples. Oh, so we're going to gather up people together. And he says, oh, and you're going to baptize. And now they're seeing themselves baptizing people in the local river. And as they're doing all of this, he says, oh, and let me remind you, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Jesus was casting a vision for them. He was giving them a mental picture. And it is only with a great image and a great mental picture that you will be able to walk into it. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing. He didn't just say, okay, get out there, do the best you can. He created a clear vision for them so that what? So that they could make quality decisions along the way. You got to have a compelling vision. Here's the second thing that you need in designing your legacy is you got to have courageous action. You got to have courageous action. Your vision can be crystal clear and it can be compelling. But if you don't take courageous action, it's not going to matter. We spent the entire summer talking about the heroes in Hebrews chapter 11, those that we just mentioned earlier. And listen, here's the thing about it. There's so many differences. I mean, they had different personalities. It were different time periods. They had different struggles, all kinds of differences, but they all had one thing in common. They all took action. Maybe not even fully knowing where or what or why or how, but they just took action. And this is what James, the brother of Jesus, says about Abraham. He was one of those who took action in Hebrews chapter 11. And he says, so you see, that what he, speaking of Abraham, believed and what he did were working together. What he did made his faith complete. What he believed and what he did were working together because that's what faith really is, right? That's what we've been talking about the last few months, that faith is not just what you believe. Faith is also the action that you take. Faith is the movement. And this is what he says. He says that he believed and what he did, these things were working together. Franklin D. Roosevelt said this. He said, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something else is more important than fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. If you're waiting for all your fear to go away, you're going to be disappointed. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's rather the assessment that something else is more important than fear. Friends, listen to me. Your legacy is more important than your fears. Your story is more important than your mistakes and your excuses. But there's one thing that your legacy demands. Your legacy demands courageous action because it is action that leads to access. And if you want to access the life that God created you for, if you want to access the life that God designed you for, if you want to access that abundant life, if you want to access that overflow, if you want to access that impact, if you want to access that influence, if you want to access, it takes action to access what God has for you. And if you want to design your legacy, you have got to make sure that courageous action is a part of the design. Here's the third thing. The third thing you've got to have in this design is conscious decision. Conscious decision. And why do I say conscious decision? Because we can get really, really good at living life on autopilot. We can get so good not making a conscious decision, but a subconscious decision. I would say it like this, is that we are making decisions without really making decisions. It appears that we're making decisions, but we're not really making decisions. You know, brain scientists now say that somewhere between 80% and 95% of your day is lived out of your subconscious. Saying it's lived on autopilot. You're making decisions, but you're not really making decisions. This is why I often say, right, people don't think about what they think about. I don't think about what I think about. Why? Because I'm living on autopilot. I am living out of my subconscious. So thoughts keep traveling down the same neural pathways, even if that pathway doesn't lead to the best outcome. And that's why we find ourselves saying things like, I don't understand why this keeps happening. I don't understand why I always end up here. I don't understand. And it's like, well, yeah, because we've been living on autopilot. We've been living out of our subconscious. And hear me today, as long as that thought keeps traveling down the same neural pathway, it's going to keep taking you to the exact same place, because that's how it works. That's how it works. And so I've got to take it out of subconscious, and I've got to start making some conscious decisions. And there's one thing that helps us make conscious decisions, and it is this: honest evaluation. Honest evaluation. Why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? Why do you make coffee the way that you make coffee? Why do you say what you say to your spouse? Why do you treat your kids the way you treat your kids? Why do you say those words to your coworkers, to your boss? Why do you do what you do? See, we just get in a routine, and here's what we start to tell ourselves. We start to tell, well, this is just the way life is. No, that's just the way you've lived.
Right. That's good.
That doesn't mean that has to be the way that you live in the future. No, that's not true. It's just, and we don't ask ourselves, why do I do what I do? Now, some of it comes from your personality, and some of it comes from your parents and your childhood or your caregiver and the way that you were brought up. Some of it comes from the pain and the trauma of your life, but there is a reason why we do what we do for everything. An honest evaluation will begin to break that down and go, wait a minute. I've been living out of autopilot. I've been living in my subconscious. I've got to consciously begin to make some different decisions. Because hear me, your subconscious will never make a different decision. It's called autopilot for a reason. Is wherever it's headed, that's where it's headed. And you got to get like personal pilot. I don't even know what that's called, but you got to take back over the control of your life, and you've got to begin to take it in a different direction. But listen, not only do you need honest evaluation, you also need something else. And you also need this, a confident declaration. Because if you are going to make a conscious decision, I need to evaluate how I got here. I need to evaluate the decisions that I'm already making. But I also need a confident declaration that I can start making different decisions. Right. One of my favorite confident declarations is this: I am the type of person who. I am the type of person who respects and honors everyone. I am the type of person who understands that my daily decisions are creating my legacy. This is the person that I am. One of the things that we have in our family, and is Carolina in here? Carolina, here you are. Okay, if I was to say in the D's family, okay, in the D's family, we have a saying. Say in the D's family, we do what comes after that. We do what? Say it again. We do hard things, okay? That's what we do in the D's family. We do hard things, because here's what I know, is that life is hard. Life is difficult. Life is unfair. Life will trip you and then kick you while you're down. So whenever things get difficult, I want my kids to know, well, this is what I was made for, because this is what we do. The Dees family, we do hard things. So whenever it gets tough, it's like, okay, well, this is what I was made for because this is what we do. We do hard things because what Jesus asked them to do is borderline ridiculous. Turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, forgive people that do all kinds of evil against you, love everyone in the world. I mean, this is crazy. Jesus asked us to do hard things. And so whenever they come confronted with one of the hard truths that Jesus gave us, I don't want them to say, well, that's just not for me. That's not how we do it in my house. No, I want them to say, oh, no, that's what we do in our house. We do hard things. We love hard people. We forgive hard situations. Oh, no, we give generous. This is what we do. We do these things. We do hard things. So you have to prepare for that moment. Because listen, if you don't have a confident declaration and you show up in that moment, what you're going to go with in that moment is what you feel. And what you feel is hardly ever what you should do. So I got to have a confident declaration so that I can make a conscious decision. When I get in that moment and I can say, oh, wait a minute. No, this is who I am. I am the type of person that does this. I am the type of person who forgives, so it's not a question. I am the type of person who loves unconditionally, so it doesn't matter what you do to me. I am the type of person who turns the other cheek. That's what I am. So whenever I'm in that moment, I'm not trying to decide, oh God, what am I gonna do right here? I already know what I'm gonna do because I've been declaring it over my life for the last 20 years of my life. I'm prepared for this moment. Right? So I got to make conscious decisions because we're creating legacy. And then here's the last thing. And the last thing is this. It's consistent determination. Consistent determination. I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and he had the opportunity to spend an hour with the Hall of Fame middle linebacker. People would argue he's one of the best to ever play that position, and he had an hour alone with him, and I was like, bro, what was that like? You got to tell me about it. And he was like, it was the greatest hour of my life. He's a former athlete, and he was like, he said, I wanted to respect his time, and if he needed to prepare for his talk, they were both speaking at a conference together. He said, I was just going to give it. He said, but I was not going to miss the opportunity just to throw out a couple questions and see if I could get him to bite. And he said, and he bit. And he said, and he started talking to me. And he said it was almost like he just glazed over and flashed back decades before. And he said he started talking and he started saying something like this. He says, you know, I wasn't big and I wasn't the strongest and I wasn't the fastest, but I knew that my opponents were humans. And humans have a tendency to quit when they get hit hard enough or they get hit long enough. So I just determined that I would go to lengths that other people weren't willing to go so they would quit and I would win. And when he told me that, I was like, put me in, coach. I got one more good game in me. I mean, I was ready. I was like, bro, how did you respond to that? He said, I broke out in a cold sweat. My heart was beating out of my chest. He said he was talking about them like they were human and like he was some kind of machine. But it reminded me of this quote from Napoleon Hill that said this, one of the most common causes of failure is the habit of quitting when one is overtaken by temporary defeat. One of the most common causes of failure is the habit of quitting. It's the habit of quitting. Because it got hard and I quit on that goal. Because it got hard and I quit on that dream. Because it got hard and I quit on that person. Because it got hard and I quit on that church. Because it got hard and I quit on that. Because it got hard and I quit. And what happens over time is we develop the habit of quitting. It was just a temporary defeat. It was just a temporary setback. But we allow failure to come in because quitting starts to become a habit. But here's the awesome news, is that might be the tendency for humans. Through Christ, we can live differently. That's right. That's right. Through Christ, God has added his super into our natural so that we might live this supernatural existence on this earth, so that we don't have to play by the same rules of humanity, so that we don't have to give up when other people give up, and we don't have to give out when other people give out, because we're not playing with the same stuff on the inside. There is something super on the inside of us that came from God that allows us to live this supernatural existence on earth. That's why the writer of Hebrews says this in 12 verse 1. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. Perseverance. Come on, let us run with perseverance. Let us run with endurance. Let us run with grit. The race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I'm going to invite the band to come out and play behind me, but he says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and so that you will not lose heart. Listen to me today. Legacy is not built overnight. Legacy is built over time. And here's the problem with that. Because time brings with it the opportunity to quit. And the more time, the more opportunity to quit. The longer the race, the more opportunity to quit. The longer the life, the more opportunity to quit. The longer the struggle, the more opportunity to quit. Time brings with it the opportunity to quit. But you know what? Time brings something else with it. Time also brings the opportunity to keep running. Time brings the opportunity to just keep on running. And that's why for years I have lived with this motto: today is not the day to quit. Because every day I wake up, it's today. And today is not the day to quit. So I think, well, I'll check back tomorrow, right? And I get in tomorrow, and today is not the day to quit. And I think, well, I'll come back next week. And next week is still today. And today is not the day to quit. So I've just decided in my life, if I'm not going to quit, what does that mean? It means I'm going to keep on running. I'm going to keep on running this race that God has marked out for me to run with consistent determination. Because I was just thinking, as my friend was talking to me about this middle linebacker, talking about they were humans. And humans have a tendency to quit when they get hit hard enough or they get hit long enough. And if I could make them quit, I could win. Man. And I started thinking about how I'm so glad that we're not just left with humanity. We're not just left out there battling, trying to fight away. But God said, hey, I know you're going to struggle. I know this is going to be tough. What I ask you to do can't be done on your own anyway. You trying to love and forgive and pray and give and turn the cheek and go the extra mile and do all things, you can't do that anyway. So I'm going to give you my spirit so that we don't have to play by the same rules. So that you can have consistent determination that doesn't even come from you. It's not just your willpower. It's literally his power working on the inside of you. So you can wake up every day and go, whoop, let's see, what's today? Oh, today's not the day to quit. Might as well get ready to run. Up today, nope, not the day to quit either. I might as well just keep running. And guess what? You be running the next 60, 70, 80 years of your life. You just keep on running. Because every day is not the day to quit. And consistent determination will cause you to create a legacy that you want to leave. I want you to stand with me today. We can throw the lead acrostic up there on the screen. Real simple today. Every week we have a lead across it because we want to lead ourselves well. So what are we learning? What are we evaluating? What are we applying? What are we doing again? It's always the same. Learn. Legacy takes more than desire. It takes design. Do you want to leave a great story for your children? Do you want to leave a great story for your peers, for your coworkers? You want to leave a great story for your spouse? Do you want to leave a legacy? It's going to take more than just a desire. Listen, maybe you've been frustrated in the past. Let me just be real honest with you. One of the things that the church can be really good at the desire part and not very good at the design part. And so you might have been frustrated. You might really relate to what I'm saying right now because you are frustrated. You've been disappointed because you got the desire, but you never understood the importance of the design. Your story, your legacy, it takes more than desire. It takes design. And so our evaluation is this. Is the current design of my life building the legacy that I desire to leave? We've got good news for you because if that answer is like no, it's not exactly what I want it to be. I got good news because then you move into the application and it's really simple and you just change one choice this week. Just change one choice. Change one decision. Decision, direction, destination. By changing one decision, you are changing direction. And by changing direction, you are changing your destination, the legacy that you are going to. Just change one thing. And then the D's just do it again and again. So we just change one thing, and then we change another thing, and then we change another thing. And throughout life, in the next 20 years, we arrive at a place and we're like, wow, how did I arrive here? And it's because we started changing little choices and little decisions along the way. Because the choices that you make are actually making you. I want you to bow your heads. As your heads are bowed, I want you to hear me. God has a design for your life. God designed you for purpose. He designed you for his plan. He designed you for abundance. He designed you. God designed you. But if you are going to get the life that God designed you for, you are going to have to design your life for that design. You can't just have a desire for his design. You have to design your life. And maybe today you say, Philip, I don't really have a compelling vision. It's hard for me to see myself being different. It's hard for me to see what I'm trying to build in my life. And so therefore, I can't make quality decisions because I don't have a compelling and clear vision. Or maybe it's courageous action. Maybe you got a great vision, man. You can see who you can be. You can see what your marriage can be like. You see what your kids, like you can see it very clear, but you're not taking action. You're not taking the first step. I don't know what it might be for you. Maybe it's conscious decision. Maybe if you were honest, you say, Phil, I'm living off autopilot, man. I'm living off subconscious. I'm doing things and saying things and thinking things, and I'm not evaluating any of it. I'm saying to my kids what my parents said to me. And it doesn't matter that every single Christian child psychologist says it's the wrong thing. I just keep saying it because I don't know, that's just what they said to me. And it kind of worked out for me. I guess it'll work out for them. And I'm on autopilot. I'm on autopilot in my marriage. I'm not really even listening to my spouse. I'm not paying attention to their needs. I'm just doing kind of what I've always done on autopilot. Maybe say, I need to make I need to have some evaluation. And then I need a declaration that's going to help me with my conscious decision making. Or maybe today you say, man, I just need that consistent determination. Today is not the day to quit. I don't know what it might be for you. It might be one of those. It might be all of those. But if today, listen to me, today, if you say, Philip, I don't want to just settle with the desire. I want to build the design. I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave a story of faith. If that's you today, and you say, I want to commit to design that legacy. All over this place, I'm not going to ask you to step out in the aisle or come down front, but you say, Philip, I don't want to get stuck with just a desire. I want to create a design for my life so that I can leave a great legacy. If that's you, come on, just lift up your hand right there where you are. It's just between you and God. It's just a sign to yourself and a sign to God to say, God, that's what I want for my life. With that hand lifted right now, would you just repeat this simple prayer after me? Everybody in the room, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. I need your love and your grace. I need your power and forgiveness. I believe you are who you say you are, and you can do what you say you can do. I want to live my life by design, not just by desire. I want to create through the decisions that I make. I want to leave that legacy. Father, I thank you so much today for every single person in this room, every person that lifted their hand, every person that prayed that prayer. And God, it is really what we want. We don't want to just have a desire. We want to have a design. We want to know, what does it take to build a life that you designed us for? What does that take? God, I pray over the next few weeks, God, that you would help us begin to put some of the puzzle pieces together so that we can begin to create an intentional design so that we can leave a great legacy behind for your kingdom, for your glory, and for your purpose. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Come on, let's walk.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.